This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. We honor the Spirit of Christ and we thank God for this another day that He has made. And we thank God for all of the mothers on Mother's Day. God be praised for you. God be praised for all that you do in our lives and the influence that you've made, impact that you've made on us. So we just thank God for mothers, and we celebrate you today. With your Bibles, I would like for you to turn to Job chapter 1. And I would like to read in your hearing verses 1 through 5 in Job chapter 1. This is what it says. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Also his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. And his sons would go and feast in their houses, each one of his appointed day, and would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. So it was, when the days of feasting had run their course, that Job would send and sanctify them. And he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did regularly. And in verse 8, it says, then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. So ends the reading of God's word. I would like to preach from the theme, Lessons from Job, the Family Man. Lessons from Job, the Family Man. When one thinks of Job, what normally comes to mind is Job's suffering, Job's patience, Job's perseverance. But there's so much more to this amazing man that is often missed. Job was an amazing father. He was a husband. He was a spiritual leader of his family. So I pulled up a chair and I wanted to find out more about this amazing man, Job, and his family, and what he can teach us as we look at the role of man and his household. And the first thing Job wanted us to understand is that he said, men, you are to lead your families as a man that trusts God completely. Job wants you to know, lead your family as a man that trusts God completely. Job was proactive when it came to his walk with the Lord. Job knew that he needed to have God in his life. And we know that because in Job chapter 1, verse 8, it says, God having this conversation with Satan, and God says, have you considered my servant Job? That simply means that Job had a relationship with God. And if we're going to be the men that God has ordained us to be, if we're going to raise our families in a Christ-honoring way, it begins by having a relationship with the true and living God. Isn't it amazing that the same God that walked with Job is the same God that can walk with you and I? It's the same God who can lead and guide us through seasons of difficulty and stress. My brother, I want to ask you a question. Who are you trusting? So many folks are trusting their jobs, so many are trusting their health, their finances, the economy, friends, their career, their education, and nothing is wrong with any of that. But Job would want you to know that you need to put your trust in God. Even Job 13:15 says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Job had enough sense to realize that he needed God navigating and helping him negotiate this thing called life. My brother, I ask you, are you trusting God? Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all of thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, behold, now is the appointed time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And then even 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Joshua says in 24:15, choose you this day whom you will serve. God is still looking for those that are willing to trust him with their lives. God is still looking for some servants. And a servant is just simply someone who follows the commands of God, someone who has decided that they're going to trust Christ as their Savior. But not only that, Job teaches us something else. Job teaches us that we should lead our families as men of character. Lead your family as a man of godly character. The Bible says that Job was a blameless and upright man. Some translations say that Job was a perfect man. And that word perfect simply means that he was mature. Job was a man of integrity. Job was self-controlled. He was spiritually mature. He was a man who had character. And I don't know about you, God is still looking for men who have character, men who can be holy, men who can be righteous. But not only was Job a man who was blameless and upright, that word also means that Job was also a man who stood ready to be a blessing to others. In other words, Job was others-centered. With Job, it was not about just him. Job was always looking for ways in which he could be a blessing to someone else. Job was able to keep his head on a swivel. That's an old term, that military term, that simply means pilots used it in World War II. It means that he was able to keep his head looking around, about, seeing what was happening around him, so that he could be mindful of the enemy who were trying to attack him. Job is saying, keep your head on a swivel. Be mindful of what's going on around you. He was others-centered. And if we're going to be the kind of men that God can use, he wants us to not only look at our own families, but how can we be a blessing to others? We know Job was a blessing to others. He was other-centered because in chapter 29, verse 12, beginning at verse 12, it says, because I delivered the poor who cried out, the fatherless and the one who had no help, the blessing of a perishing man came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing of joy. I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My justice was like a robe of a turban. I was eyes to the blind. I was feet to the lame. I was a father to the poor, and I searched out the case did I not know. I broke the fangs of the wicked and plucked the victims of their teeth. Job is telling us that here we get a portrait of a man who also was a man who was able to be a blessing to others. Again, a man of character. But the Bible also said that Job was a man who feared God. That word fear just simply means that he was a man who stood in awe of God. He respected God's word. He respected God's deeds. He respected God's actions. And this created a sense of awe with this man named Job. And perhaps it would be good for you and I, my brother, to also have an awe of God, a reverence of God, and who he is and what he does in our lives. Because when you begin to reverence God and recognize who he is, that he's holy, that he's just, it creates within us a desire to want to worship and to praise God because of who he is. Job recognized, and he's telling us, if you're going to be the men that God ordained you to be, have a healthy fear of God. Be in awe of God, of who he is and what he does for those that are willing to trust him. But it also tells us that Job was a man who shunned evil. In other words, he went in the other direction of evil. And my brothers, if we're going to lead our families in a Christ-honoring way, we would do well to shun evil. Depart, go another way, avoid it. And even Paul said, evil is always present with us. He said, that which I would not do, I find myself doing. Evil is present with us. And perhaps we would do well, as 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, examine everything carefully, hold fast to that which is good, and abstain from evil. And that's how we're able to be the kind of men that God ordains us to be, that we are able to shun evil and to hold tightly onto that which is good. I'm able to hold tightly onto good when I read his word. I'm able to hold onto good when I have a prayer life. I'm able to hold onto good when I serve others. Job was a man who recognized the importance of raising our families in godly character. But there's something else we learn here in the text. Job was also a man who was his family's spiritual leader. Job was the one who led his family spiritually. Not his wife, not his children, but Job. And we know that's true because in Job chapter 1, verse 5, it says this, "So it was that the days of feasting had run their course, that Job would send and sanctify them, and he would raise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did regularly." You see that? Job assumed the role of spiritual leader in his family. Job got up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings unto God. And he says, just in case my children, my sons, my daughters had sinned. Job was living at a time where idolatry abounded. It was everywhere. And he knew that it was difficult for his children to get through the day without saying something or doing something that was out of the will of God. So this man got up early and he would pray for his children. He would intercede on their behalf. Just, there's no evidence that they did anything wrong, but Job was about holiness, and he wanted his family to understand the seriousness of sin. So Job got up early in the morning, and he began to pray for his family. And I will submit to you today that if we're going to be men who are raising Christ-honoring families, it begins with us being men of prayer. He got up early. He sacrificed. And he made it a point to spend time seeking the face of God on behalf of his family. I want to ask you a question. How's your prayer life as it relates to your family? We should, as men, with wives and children, make it a point to, number one, pray for our wives. Yeah. We should pray for our wives. Pray that they would be surrounded by wise friends and avoid foolish ones. Pray that our wives would depend on God's wisdom and strength rather than their own. Pray that our wives would make choices based upon the fear of God and not the fear of man. Pray that our wives would chase hard after God and his ways. But more importantly, as men, it's important that we not just pray for our wives, but that we pray with our wives. And I know that's not always an easy thing to do. But something amazing happens when we begin to cover our families with prayer, our wives and our children. God begins to show up in an amazing way. But it all begins with husbands and wives breaking away for a few moments to have prayer, to have a talk with Jesus. But we also need to pray for our children. What should we pray for them? We'll pray that they would submit to authority and ways of God and his word. Pray that they will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Pray that they would use good judgment, pursue justice, love mercy, and walk humbly before our God. Pray that they would respect all people regardless of race, gender, or social status. These are things that we can do to pray for our children. That our children begin to recognize and see that prayer is vital and important. When we pray for our wives and our children, we're saying that my family is worth fighting for. And your adversary, the devil, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, and he wants to devour our families. And that's why we have to bathe our families in prayer. But it begins with you, the man, the head, to pray for our wives, to pray for our children. But not only that, we should also be the ones, beloved, that are praying, that are leading, the devotions in our families. I know, family devotions, that's a hard push for many of us, but sometimes we make it more complicated than it has to be. Family devotions is really talking about three things. It's talking about scripture reading, it's talking about prayer, and it's talking about discussing some of what we read in the scriptures. And you could even put in a fourth thing, songs, music. Those are things that as the head of the house, that we as men have to begin to incorporate if we want to raise up and have Christ-honoring families and homes. Devotions become critically important. So much so that it should be non-negotiable. If we can have our children doing everything else, we should be able to pull them away for at least 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes. You decide it, so that they can read scripture, discuss scripture, pray, and sing. We begin to see a different kind of household when that kind of activity begins to happen on a regular basis. We have our kids doing everything else. Why not have them be part of family devotions? You get to decide what it's going to look like. One day a week, 2 days a week, 3 days a week, you get to decide it. But it's important that they begin to see the value of our family coming together under the word of God and praying and expecting God to work and move in our family because we're pulling away, spending time with him in the word. Maybe saying as a man, I can't do this. I didn't grow up in a family where there was any kind of family devotions. My brother, I would encourage you not to be afraid. That's nothing but a trick of the enemy trying to keep you on the sidelines and inactive. All you've got to do is become part of a church, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. Faith Fellowship has a men's group where these brothers will be able to come alongside of you and help you in your walk as you develop and grow in Christ Jesus. Don't think that this is beyond your ability. No, it is. You can do this. Christ is ready to walk with you every step of the way, as well as some of the brothers here. Iron still sharpens iron. There's one other thing that Job wanted you to know as it relates to raising godly families. And Job says, listen, Lead your family by spending time with them. We know Job spent time with his family. Verse 4 tells us that his children would gather together and they would go and visit each other's house. And they would celebrate birthdays. There had to be a sense of time given to cultivate that kind of harmony and love one for another. He was able to do that, he and his wife. They took time with the family. And if we're going to raise up Christ-honoring families, then we've got to, as men, make time for our families. It won't happen any other way. Job made it clear that time with family was critical. And he knew how to pull that off. He was praying for his family, seeking God's face on behalf of his family. Taught them how to have a sense of harmony in the home. That all happens as a result, spending time with. He invested time with his family. I was blessed to grow up in a home with a godly father. And like Job, he was not a perfect man, but certainly he was a godly man. Where we lived at, the kind of house we lived in, the amount of money he made every year, really was never an issue. You know what mattered most? Is the time he spent with his family. That's what mattered most. I can remember as a youngster, we would go to the Baltimore Civic Center. And this is when they had the Baltimore Bullets, Wes Unseld, Kevin Lockery, Gus Johnson. These were some amazing basketball players. And we had a chance to go. We were in the nosebleed section, but it was just something about him carving out time to take us to several of these games throughout the basketball season. I can remember 11 years old, going to the New York City World's Fair in 1965. I can remember trips down South Carolina. All these indicators of him just spending time with us. And that's what we remember most, the amount of time that he invested in his family. So important. That's what our families need most. Sure, you got to work. You have to make a living. Do what you have to do. But at the same time, balance. Balance. Make sure that your family is not the casualty of you earning a living and them not having the privilege of your presence. Billy Graham had been away for about 2 months preaching all over the country. Got back home. He was arriving home. Pulled up. And he saw a little girl playing not far in the distance. And he went in the house and said, "Whose child is that?" And he discovered that it was one of his children. And Graham lamented that he had spent so much time doing ministry, doing other things, that he failed to even recognize his own child after a couple of months of being away. And he lamented that, and perhaps that was a warning shot to all of us to not get so busy doing, earning, that we neglect to spend time with our families. Jesus knew a lot about investing time. They met him in the Garden of Gethsemane. They marched him through the narrow streets of Jerusalem. They hung him high and they stretched him wide. Jesus made time for us. On that third day, Jesus got up with all power in his hand. And Jesus Christ is still making time for us. He's hearing our prayers. He's answering our prayers. He's blessing us. He's standing in the gap, providing with whatever it is we need. He's been available to do it. He's a Christ who is still giving us time. So my brothers and my sisters, I pray that my brothers in particular, that you will be the kind of men that God has ordained you to be, that it all begins with, number one, getting saved, coming to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, living godly before your family, being the spiritual leader of your home, and then making time for your family. And when we begin to behave in that kind of way, folks are going to wake up and take notice and see that you must have been with Jesus. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we do bless your name. We thank you so much for this day. We pray that as your word goes forth, that it will fall on fertile soil, that someone who does not know you and a free pardon of their sin might be saved. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.